Rush Hour with Luke Bradnam.
The Goldies, 92.5 AAA. Welcome to the jungle.
Hey-o, everybody. Thank you for joining us on the podcast. Coming up on the show this afternoon, we'll tackle the suburb here on the Gold Coast got the most amount of crime. See what you think it will be. I got in trouble with my missus this morning for something absolutely ridiculous. The GC600's got a brand new date, and it's going to conflict with some other big events that happen here on the Gold Coast. James Courtney joins us to tell us if he thinks it's a good idea or not. Also, Mayor Tom Tate is on the show to talk about the budget, the state budget that was handed down, and whether or not we got a good end of the stick here on the Gold Coast. And we'll count down the top five songs in the country for you as well. All that and a whole heap more on your local drive home, The Rush Hour with Luke Bradnam on the Gold Coast 92.5. It starts now.
You're listening to The Rush Hour podcast.
I've got to say, I just love local Gold Coast stories like this. Love being able to bring them to you. I heard a story about Mr. Toy's Toy World down in Burleigh Heads. Someone's gone in there and done something quite remarkable, and it's just the Christmas spirit. It's just what we love, because so often the bad news stories lead the headlines. But Rachel from Mr. Toy's Toy World is joining us right now. G'day, Rachel. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Good, thank you. So tell us the story. What happened?
Okay, so last Thursday, probably about lunchtime, I had a lovely group of people come in. Asked if they could pay off some lay-bys for Christmas, as a 2020, I suppose, has been a pretty shit year. Sorry for swearing. And I said, yeah, of course, not a problem. So we came up the front, she had a look through, and she goes, you know what, is it okay if I pay them all off? And I was like, okay, not a problem if that's what you want to do. I can't say no, and it's just pretty amazing. And yeah, she did.
How much did it cost her?
I don't know the final sum, but it was pretty much up there. Around about 80 lay-bys were paid off, our whole lay-by system. So
one of the figures I heard was $16,000. That's the figure that's being reported.
Oh, really? Yeah. Thrown around. Well, yeah, it could have been close to that. I'm not 100% sure. We didn't take a tally. We were pretty blown away by it.
Okay, so let's leave the tally aside. What a gesture!
Yeah, not really important.
if someone's going in there and they're paying off lay-bys. For random strangers who might be doing it tough and they want to buy their kids some toys for Christmas.
Yeah.
What an amazing gesture, and congratulations and well done to whoever that anonymous Gold Coaster is.
But
tell us about the reaction of your customers when they found out that someone had done this and that their lay-bys had been paid off in full.
Most of them are pretty overwhelmed, don't really believe us. We have to show them the actual receipt to show that it has been paid off, and then that's pretty much tears and thank yous. Oh. And yeah, it's really emotional for us as well to see the reaction. It's just, and it's kind of, we want to let her know how much she's changed people's lives, and doing something might have been very simple to her, but it's changed so many people's lives.
Oh, it's a beautiful story. Honestly,
yeah.
I got goosebumps as you're telling me this.
I know. I'm tearing up again. I'm sorry.
Wow. What an amazing person. Truly amazing person. And, you know, you're talking about families that obviously can't afford to buy these gifts in full. They have to put them on lay-by. And that's a beautiful gesture. I just want to chuck it out to the rest of the Gold Coast that I know 2020 has been a tough year. It really has. You know, I shared yesterday I've been given the flick, and a lot of us have. And so some people not in a position to do this, but if you are in a position to pay it forward like this, what a beautiful gesture and what a loving gesture this is. Whoever that person is, you're a friggin' champion, and we love you.
We do indeed.
Great. And so there's a lot of happy Gold Coast families that have been helped out by this. Hey, well done to you. Do you know who the person is? I'm not going to ask you who it is, but do you personally know the person?
No, not at all. It's just a customer that has been coming in for a few years, and, yeah, that's all we know.
Bloody legend. Lovely story, and glad I could share it with the Gold Coast. Thank you so much.
You're listening to the Rush Hour podcast.
just want to respond to an outpouring I've had over the last 24 hours. We announced on the show yesterday that management have decided not to renew our show for next year. I won't be part of the Triple M lineup next year, and we talked about it yesterday on the show. But thank you to everyone that has reached out on Instagram, predominantly for me, and also Facebook. But I've been a bit overwhelmed with the messages that have come through, and I want to just take a quick moment to say how much I appreciate all of the messages. I will respond to everyone that has sent me messages in the past 24 hours, but just I just haven't had time, quite frankly. But yeah, if you have sent me a message, I want to let you know how appreciated it is. We're going to be on air until next Friday, have as much fun as we possibly can until that moment. And whatever my plans are for 2021, I will announce on that Instagram as well. So thank you to everybody. I very much appreciate it. But yeah, these crime rates have just come out from the Gold Coast. They've released the figures of what suburb here on the coast is the most dangerous to live in. Which suburb has the most crime? Now, drug crime and also burglary. Which suburb do you think it is? And I thought we might open the phones up. I mean, I was a victim of it last week. I had had my car flogged. Now, that was smack bang in the middle of Surfers Paradise. I was in Cavill Avenue, mate. You don't get any more heart and soul Surfers Paradise than being in Cavill Avenue. And I guess I wouldn't be surprised if Surfers Paradise is on this list, having just gone through this, but I haven't seen the list yet. Producer Jeremy's got it.
You're listening to the Rush Hour podcast.
Maybe you can relate to being in trouble for what I got in trouble for this morning, literally as I was sleeping, and it was ridiculous. But I can't say in my fiance's defence that I haven't had the same thing happen to me and been angry for the same reason that she was this morning. Give me a drum roll. I'm going to tell you what I got in trouble for this morning. I woke up this morning and Lauren was upset with me for cheating on her in her dream. So, I literally woke up. She woke me up and she goes, "I've got to talk to you. I'm really upset." And I'm like, "Okay." She goes, "You cheated on me."
You right? Idiot!
With Susie O'Neill. You were, and not only that, but in Lauren's dream last night, I was not only having an affair with Susie O'Neill, but I got Susie pregnant. And and she was upset by it. And in her dream, what I did was I said, "Look, I've got to talk to you. Susie and I have been having an affair, and she's pregnant." And it was like real for her. Like she, and I've had it previously, mate. I've honestly had that, not with Lauren, but one time when I was married with Kathy. She had in my dream, she had an affair with one of my mates, one of my old schoolmates, and I carried the resentment from the dream into real life. Like that morning, the whole morning, I was dirty with her, and it was as if she actually had cheated on me. And eventually, she said, "Is everything all right?" And I went, "Well, no, you bloody cheated with such and such." And she's like, "What are you? He's gross." And she actually went, "Ugh, he's gross.
Stop it."
It's ridiculous, isn't it? And I've had it the other way before too. When I was doing the breakfast show at Hot Tomato, I had a on-air partner, a girl, and honestly, I'm not attracted to her. She's a lovely girl, good friend of mine. But I had a very vivid dream, mate, that night, if you know what I mean. I had a very vivid dream about her one night. And I got in to do the show the next day, and I could barely get eye contact with her because I was like, "I think she knows. I think she knows. I think she knows the filthy dream I had last night."
And stop it.
It's just weird. It's so weird, isn't it? But that's a first for me. I've been angry at people before for what they did in my dream, but it's the first time that I've been in trouble in my life for something that I did in someone else's dream. I'm actually proud of me. I've found trouble in every walk of life in this, you know, as I've been going through life, I've found trouble. If there's trouble, mate, I find it. Believe me. Did you hear the announcement yesterday, for example? But this is a new one, even for me.
You're listening to the Rush Hour podcast.
Big news today, and that is that the GC600 will return for 2021 and at a different time of the year. In fact, this time next year, the GC600 will be kicking off, and it's going to look a whole different, feel a whole different in the lead up to Christmas. James Courtney, V8 supercar legend, joining us right now. Hey, mate, how are you?
I'm good. Legend's a big call.
mate, you are. You're an absolute legend. And this, what about this news, mate? Is this good for us or what? It's going to be the final race of the season, so somebody could be the, you know, we could be deciding the championship right here on the coast.
Yeah, hopefully, crowning a champion here on the coast would be fantastic. Look, the event's always amazing. Throw in it. Schoolies on the back end of schoolies, and then Christmas parties as well. With the timing, it's going to be pretty wild.
Yeah, gee, I didn't even take into equation the fact that you're right. Schoolies should be back. In fact, schoolies should be wrapping up just as the GC600 gets underway. It's going to be a very busy time of year, isn't it?
It's going to be a huge start to December. So it's it's always a cracking event. It always puts on a great show in town, and for it to be the final, and then also typically the Monday night or Tuesday night after our last event, we have our awards dinner, so that's probably going to be on here on the coast too. So yeah, it's going to be a fantastic time. And also, with me being Gold Coast boy, hopefully I'm in the hunt for the championship and I can sleep at home, which also makes everything a lot nicer.
So how often does it happen, James, that the championship gets decided in the final event?
Yeah, typically it does, mate. This year was a little bit unique in the way that, due to so many different circumstances for everyone. But typically it goes to that last weekend, and it's nearly always down to the last race. That's the way they tend to make the points system, so it favours that sort of outcome. But look, either way, if it's decided by then, which I don't think it will be, it'll still be a cracking event. But, so much risk at that circuit as well, with it being, you know, the concrete canyon and the curbs and all that sort of stuff, not only with drivers making errors but also car failures. So it's going to put so much more emphasis on that last race and stress and pressure and all that sort of stuff to really add to the event.
And what about have you heard any reason why they've changed it from the typical October sort of time of year to December? And is this likely to continue? Like, is this when we can expect to have the GC600 on the coast from now on?
Yeah, mate, I hope so. I reckon you have to finish the season with a bang. This year was great to finish it at Bathurst. To be able to wrap it up here on the coast will be huge. I think with the Adelaide race being dropped for this next calendar year, I think that sort of revved up everyone at the Gold Coast and wanting to really make our event more of an impact, because it's going to be the biggest street race all year. So typically we started the season at Adelaide, which isn't happening this year. We're starting at Bathurst next year, which is going to be amazing, with two 250K races. And then we still do the Bathurst 1000 through the year, and then finish it off with the Gold Coast. We also get to New Zealand next year again, which is going to be excellent, which is the race before this one that's going to be here. Get back to Tassie, get over to WA again. So it's all, we're doing the key events again, and it's fantastic. It's probably the best outcome we could have had off the back of, this natural disaster, well, not natural, but the disaster we've had.
Yeah, right. It's a good news.
See how it goes.
I like it, mate. I like having it at the end of the year and the championship getting decided here on the coast. Then we get the big party afterwards. Seems like a win-win for us here on the coast. Hey, James, appreciate your time this afternoon, mate.
All right, cheers, mate. See you later.
You're listening to the Rush Hour podcast.
Mayor Tom Tate joining us right now, the head honcho. G'day, Tom. How are you, mate?
Mate, it's fantastic. I'm at Ulmer Brothers looking across.
What a spot.
And I'm going, stretch my luncheon time a little bit. So
good. You deserve
can't
it.
Complain.
You deserve it. Hey, what about this week? Is it this weekend that Mayor's Christmas carols are on?
Yes, on Saturday, 6 p.m. Yeah. And it's free. Casey Barnes and all the top names will be there. And I promise one thing, Luke, I will not be singing.
Ah, come on, mate. That's whenever I've emceed it, you've come out and you've always given a tune to the fans, which is what they want. But it's online this year, so it's a little bit different, right?
Yeah, no, it is. We're online, so you go to the Facebook, Council Facebook, or website, and really tune in.
Yep.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to put it on our big screen, and the families will get together and sit back and enjoy, and it's free.
Still have the Christmas spirit. Now, a few things to cover off. First of all, the GC600. This time next year, the GC600 will be on. It's going to be just before Christmas. It's going to be different for us here as a city, dealing with it in the lead up to Christmas and all of the chaos that comes with that time of year. How are we feeling about that? Is it a good thing for the city, or is it going to cause a bit of chaos?
No, it's going to be a wonderful thing for the city to keep the supercars, because really, the last race in the whole series going to be celebrated here on the Gold Coast. And as they say in the classic, party on, dudes.
It could be.
It's going to be great.
So the championship could be decided and probably will be right here on the coast. So that's a good win for the supercar fans. The other one is also a bit confused from the city's point of view with regards to the state budget that was handed out over the week, through the week. So David Crisafulli, he's a Gold Coaster, he's the state opposition leader.
Yep.
He came out and he was sort of saying, we've got shafted a little bit as a city. And then I heard that you thought it was pretty that it's pretty good. So who's right, who's wrong?
Well, we're both right, Luke. You know, I'm right in the way that all the things that I want, light rail stage 4 all the way to the airport and Coomera Connector and all that, as per promised. What David's saying is there was no new incentives there that put forward, but I already knew what was happening,
right.
20 mil for major events and all that. So I'm already planning our budget to really go with the state's budget, because there's some co-funding there, so you leverage it to deliver. And that's why I'm quite satisfied with it.
So we're happy.
I'm happy, but you know, I think if David was in power, we would have been just as happy.
Right. I'm reading into it. It could have been better, but could have been worse, is what I'm taking out of this.
Mate, it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah.
And we put it this way: the Gold Coast wasn't bypassed. It's a fair budget for us. I can make it work and deliver infrastructure in the near future.
Good stuff. Hey, good on you, Tom, and I appreciate your time this afternoon, my friend. Thank you.
Oh, good, mate. Bye.
And see him on Saturday night. He'll be belting out Silent Night. That's his favourite.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Great Casey Barnes joining us right now. Hey, Casey, how are you, mate?
I'm good, mate. Thanks for having me.
Hey, we just spoke to Mayor Tom Tate. He said that this Saturday night is the Mayor's Christmas carols. They're all online this year, but you're the headline act, my friend.
Yeah, I didn't realise I was the headline act. It's going to be a little bit different. Obviously, we can't do it in person, but it's going to be nice to still be able to do something. And it's a great little lineup of, I know they've got, I think Anthony Collier and David Campbell and Paul Leaney.
You're headline out of those jobbers, mate. I'm telling you right now. Hey, I did say, where do you actually perform?
We actually, what's quite funny is on Saturday night, I will be performing at a music festival up at Rainbow Beach. But we've actually already shot our performance.
Oh, I see. Right.
In advance. So we did it at Dreamweavers, which is this amazing event company just in Burley. So we shot it all there and it's all done, and they'll put it up on Saturday night. So it's it'll be good.
A good way to kickstart, the run into Christmas. We got you in here, of course, to count down the top 5 songs in the country and let everyone know what we think of them. We give them either a thumbs up or thumbs down. We do so with the help of Triple M's music guru, AV. G'day, mate. How are you?
Yeah, fantastic. Guns N' Roses still going strong. People winning tickets, diamond style.
People are ringing up and they're going, mate, I'm the biggest Guns N' Roses fan ever. Can I get the tickets? And we go, yeah, well, you can't be that big of a fan, mate. This is REM that's on at the moment.
Yeah, exactly.
No joke. We've had someone ring up and try and go, yeah, mate, I heard Guns N' Roses, massive fan. Can I get the tickets? And we're like, mate, it's Australian Crawl. What are you talking about? How big of a fan are you, you big liar? Okay, mate, let's go. Top 5 songs. What do you got for us, AV?
Number 5, Joel Corry, Head and Heart.
No.
It's a no. It's a no from Casey, and it's a double thumbs down.
What's going on, Australia?
Yeah, no, we can do better than that, mate. Come on, lift your game, AV.
All right. I'm going to lift it. Number four, Billie Eilish, Therefore I Am.
Oh, no. Oh, horrendous. Buzz me out. What do you think?
Give me 5 seconds. Oh, no, I'm struggling with this one. I don't mind some of her stuff, but I'm struggling a little bit on this one.
It's like, I mean, I honestly think she's a goof, and they're like some music execs go, mate, we can turn anyone into a star. We can get anyone to buy any old rubbish. And if you don't believe me, I've invented this artist called Billie Eilish. Sit back. I reckon she's a bet between music execs. That's my theory. Number three, mate, what do you got?
Keith Urban and Pink, One Too Many.
Predicament with this one.
Can I feel your predicament? Is it something along the lines of you love Keith Urban, he's a bro, he's a country, fellow country music artist, done good, but you're a bit over it?
Somewhat. He's also blocking me at the moment. We've got the National Country Music Radio chart, right?
Right.
And he's been sitting there at number one for the last 3 weeks, and I think we're at, like, number two or number three. So at the moment, he's blocking us from getting our third number one of the year. So I was like, come on, Keith.
Nah, bugger him. Over, Buzzy Meyer. Just for that. Does he really need any more success in his life? He's probably, surely. You know, here's Casey sitting at home at Runaway Bay going, oh, mate, wouldn't that be awesome? And Keith probably doesn't even know that he's at number one. bugger him. Hey, you're being humbled, but I just got some stats on you. Producer Jeremy just dragged this up. On Spotify, you have had 6.1 million streams. That's amazing, mate.
Yeah, we only found that out today. It's been, I don't know, in a year where we've been stuck in COVID, I guess we're pretty stuck. I think we've doubled our numbers from this time last year. So very, very thankful to everyone that's been streaming the songs.
Do you get any dough from that?
Yeah, it's underrated. Spotify's great. I mean, a lot of people are anti-Spotify and some of the streaming, you know, platforms, but they've been amazing to me. And the money's not too bad.
Is it something like you get like 1 cent every stream, or like how does it work? Because if they were flinging you a buck for every stream, mate, you'd be rolling in it.
Yeah. No, it works out. It works out. It's not too bad. It's good. Actually not too bad when you break it all down. So, yeah, no, they're good.
Well done, mate. 6.1 million streams. That is an amazing achievement. Where are we? Up to number two?
Number two, a song I reckon Casey cranks in his Ferrari, Tones and I, Fly Away.
What about that, mate? Do you drive around?
This song's become a bit of an earworm over the last week. I'm going to give it a thumbs up. I'll give it a thumbs up.
Yeah, see, I don't have the convertible Ferrari like Casey, so the music's not quite as cool for me. I don't dig it. Buzz me out. How about this number one song? Can I just tell you the drama everyone's had around here at the radio station just to play a snippet of this number one song?
Ooh.
It's so filthy. It's so horrendously filthy that, A, it's a must-listen to for you as you're driving home tonight. You're going to have to YouTube it or Spotify it or whatever. But, B, the sample we're about to play for you is friggin' ridiculous because everything's had to be bleeped out. Who is this guy, AV?
Okay, Casey might know a little bit more about him. His name's Trey Lewis. You Google him and he comes up as an American basketball player who's playing in the Israel Premier League.
Right.
I'm a big fan of the Israel Premier League, actually.
That's right. But a country artist, and this song has actually gone number one in the iTunes charts worldwide, including America, all genres, and now here in Australia.
If you haven't heard it yet, you're about to, because it's a phenomenon, right?
Yeah, it's country music, so sorry about your country airplay, Casey, although you might be safe. This is Something Down in Dallas by Trey Lewis, number one.
What the heck? You know what it sounds like?
What?
If anyone is listening this afternoon and you haven't come across this guy, Wheeler Walker Jr., right?
Right.
Not for the kids, not for the kids, but it sounds like it could be a Wheeler Walker song.
Mate, I honestly heard it and I went, has Rodney Rood gone country? That's what I thought. That's what it sounded like to me. It's a double thumbs up from me, mate. And I'll speak on behalf of Casey. He loves it, all right?
Yeah, let's give it a thumbs up.
Yeah, and anyway, you got to listen to it. It's bloody filthy. And usually country music artists are so pure and, you know, they talk about snowflakes and shearing sheep and that sort of stuff. Not this guy, mate. He's down and dirty like the rest of us.
They're calling it a country version of that WAP song that was out earlier this year.
Oh, really? Yeah, okay.
That's the first I've heard of it, so I'm going to go straight to YouTube and check it out.
It's filthy. You'll love it.
Just make sure the kids aren't around, Casey.
Don't do it at the Mayor's Christmas Carols. Don't do a cover. thanks, Casey. We'll see you next week, my friend.
Thanks, Luke. Thanks, AV. See you, mate.
There he goes. And AV, thank you once again, mate. We'll see you next week for the top five.
Rock on.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.